Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, look.
Oh.
One game, right? One game. I'm not a big fan of short-term results and drawing long-term conclusions. Not a big fan. It's one game.
One week.
Ben Johnson didn't really make a huge difference last night in Chicago, did he? It's one game. They went right down the field and scored on their opening possession, and social media was filled with hot takes regarding Ben Johnson. And the word F-I-X, he fixed, I guess it's F-I-X-E-D, he fixed Caleb Williams. Fixed him after one drive. And then they proceeded to not score their next, I believe, eight drives offensively. They did kick a field goal. Caleb Williams started going 10 for 10, finished 11 for his next 25.
You know what Caleb Williams was? Exactly what it was last year. Takes care of the football, makes some spectacular plays. There's obvious talent. He's amazingly talented. The way he was able to free himself from the rush in the first half was, I mean, it was fantastic. Just from a football standpoint, just watching him bounce around like a water bug, avoiding pressure, was incredible. But in the end, it's the same Bears team that we've kind of seen.
And it's big names. The Bears win the offseason every single year.
I'm not saying they're not going to improve because it's a good start for them and see where they're going to go. Meanwhile, the other side was like, well, this is kind of awful for the start of the Vikings season until the fourth quarter hits, and then J.J. McCarthy looks like the best version of J.J. McCarthy I've ever seen.
He was awesome.
I don't recall him looking anywhere close to that at Michigan.
He had some games, but he was always capable. And let's face it, that was huge to see him in that game be down as a rookie. Because I'm going through that. I think J.J.'s going to have a good career, but, hey, this is going to be rough as a rookie. And through 3.5 quarters, I was like, yeah, this is tough. But give it time with J.J. Well, apparently time was, I said 3.5. Through 2.5. Apparently the time he needed was about 36 minutes of NFL play before something clicked. And He caught fire late.
He's like, wait a minute, I do have weapons. Jefferson. Well,
he figured out how to get it to him, right? I mean, he knew he had weapons, but he had to figure out how to get it to him. And, you know, there's just getting used to the speed of the game. There's, you know, understanding what defenses are trying to do to you. But, I mean, again, I'm so used to hearing how great the Bears are going to be. This is like the third straight off season where the Bears, and they, I can't say it enough. But 2 years ago, they got the two linebackers, Edwards and the dude from Buffalo. Tremaine Edmonds.
There you go.
This year they got Joe Tooney. They got Ben Johnson. They won the offseason again. Remember, they are the team that got Montez Sweat.
That's right. Look, I still think
it's one game, but inside. I give my one game chuckle, but I understand, I can relate to the people that are worried about the Lions coordinators and are worried about them not ending an edge rusher. When you go out and see one game, you feel validation in your concerns. And last night, I understood that emotion, and I understood it yesterday too. I just experienced it last night with the understanding the validation emotion you get after one game. And also recognizing that it's not time for victory laps in terms of the take. But boy, did I enjoy watching the Bears struggle.
I found watching the game last night to be so interesting just for me because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it. You know, got the Bears that I don't like. I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy. And yet, I think halfway through that game, it was clear that I was pulling for J.J. McCarthy. And I was...
Just find out organically what you really...
I hate watching the Bears. You know, it's funny. Like, once you get to the pros, anything at the college stuff just goes out the window. And it's just like, okay, what do you got here? And I was watching it as a curious fan. Because if my narrative has always been that Sam Darnold sucks, it's just that, you know, you throw him in an offense that actually has somebody who's capable of running it, like the head coach over there is great, and, you know, the way their system is and all the players they have.
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. You can make someone like Sam Darnold look good. Well, J.J. McCarthy, I think, is quite talented. He steps in and finally figures it out, and all of a sudden the Vikings offense looks really good. And then when they needed to in the second half, in the fourth quarter in particular, when they needed to get start running the ball and working the clock, they did with ease. Like, that's a scary team. That's the Vikings team that there's a reason they won all those games last year.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter who the quarterback was. I mean, you have to have some talent, obviously. I mean, I can't completely bury Sam Darnold, but I mean, that was a really good football team last year. J.J. McCarthy steps in and in one game looks pretty good. He's going to have his growing pains too. I mean, he didn't play all of last year. I mean, he's just getting his feet wet as a starting quarterback, but it looked like, you know, the maturation, you know, it was like the beast and the alien, how quickly it progressed.
You know, it's funny because I think there's plenty of valid criticism of the Detroit Lions in that performance, but we got some crazy stuff yesterday, and I'm driving home and I'm thinking about it. And a few stood out, but one that stood out to me was a guy called up and said the Lions were sunk because next week Ben Johnson's going to want to send a message. And I'm like, so you think Ben Johnson's going to be more motivated in his first year to beat the Lions than Dan Campbell? First of all, a coach's motivation probably has little to do with the outcome of a game. All coaches are insanely motivated. Their careers are depending on it. So to say that one coach wants to send a message, he's going to be more motivated than the other coach, who now is 0-1 and everybody's calling his team out, I thought was an absurd premise to begin with. But then Ben Johnson, did Ben Johnson not want to send that message last night? I mean, what are we talking about? Coaches are going to be motivated.
I mean, does he want it? Is this game going to mean a little more because he spent time here? I'm sure it does, but it's like a subconscious thing. I don't think it's something where consciously you go out and go, okay, we have to beat this team. Guys, you got to win it for me.
Why wouldn't the counter be true that Dan Campbell wants to beat Ben Johnson to prove that it wasn't just Ben Johnson? Like, I mean, advantage here.
I like Dan Campbell's answer this morning to that question when they asked him about it. He's like, I just want to win.
Yeah.
Because that's what I care about. I'm motivated by winning. I don't like to lose. I hate to lose. I love winning. That's what motivates him.
Dan Campbell was interesting today. We'll play the best of what he had to say on the morning show a little bit later in case you missed it. In the meantime, Jared Goff joins us at 10:30. We'll get his take on what happened and, more importantly, what's going to happen next. It's Carson Anderson, phone calls and feedback coming up. 97.1 The Ticket.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Tiger baseball. We'll talk some Tiger baseball a little bit later on. We'll also talk with Lions quarterback Jared Goff coming up in just about 15 minutes. 248-539-9797. Jeffrey, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jeffrey.
Oh, hey, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, here's my comment. I've watched 5 NFL games so far this year, and so there's 10 teams involved, and I think 6 or 7, maybe even 8 of the teams, even some of them that have lost would have beaten the Lions the way that they played over the weekend. So, you know, any team that you look at, Pittsburgh, the Ravens, the Bills, the Jets played good. I don't think the Lions could have beaten any of those teams, even though some of the teams even lost their game.
Do you think the Lions played their worst game that you've seen in a while, and do you think that that's just an anomaly, or do you think that's indicative of how they're going to play?
It could be indicative of how they're going to play. Hey, look, Caleb Williams, if Caleb Williams plays the way he did last night and the Lions play the way that they did over the weekend, Chicago's going to win.
What about
Caleb Williams had a good game.
Did he? He had a great first drive.
He had a great first drive. First 10 passes, he struggled.
How many points did they put up?
Did Caleb Williams put up?
The offense put up 17 points.
Okay. And look at the pressure he was on. I mean, he was evading.
Okay, hold on. Jeffrey, let me stop you right here. If the Lions play like crap, every game's in question. That's not even worth debating. Of course, if the Lions play like that, every game is in question. We have far more evidence over the course of time that they're better than that, but each team is different. Yeah. So it's fair to question whether or not this team is going to be able to bounce back. But I mean, seriously, if the Lions play like that, there's no guarantees on the schedule. I guess the question becomes is, do you think that is truly indicative of who they will be all season long? And I would argue no, but it's fair to question, even after
they lost, they still have the third best odds to win the Super Bowl. That's pretty bizarre to me. I thought they would have dropped. I thought teams like
Well, go ahead and make bets on those teams. The Lions don't move after one week, so go ahead and jump on in on another team. Look, if you're talking about. If the Lions are brutal, of course they're in trouble. Yeah. I'm not willing to accept. I'm not at a point where I'm convinced that this is who they're going to be. I kind of did it. You notice I did a tongue-in-cheek with the Bears. I kept saying it's one game. I'm not a fan of short-term results, long-term conclusions. That plays well in our business. I get it. But at the end of the day, you look at a team like Chicago, there's a lot of season left. Ben Johnson now knows what he needs to correct, what he needs to work on. And so does Dan Campbell. Except one of those guys we've seen do it. The other we haven't. Right? Have we seen Dan Campbell diagnose problems, correct problems as a head coach?
Yeah.
Have we seen Ben Johnson do it as a head coach?
Yes.
I think he might be able to do it offensively, but he's in charge of the whole thing now, right? Now, Can he figure it out? He might be able to. It's an if. We know Dan Campbell, as a head coach, can do it. He's in charge of the whole thing. He's ultimately responsible. Now, he's got new coordinators in place that he is responsible for. And it is also fair to question whether or not, because that's one of the big things about this Lions team and how every team is different. They always tell us every team is different. And I believe that every team is different. Historically, and we'll ask Jared about this, like the last few years, the Lions have been elite at bouncing back.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They have done a phenomenal job of first of all, they don't have the back-to-back losses, but they diagnose and address problems.
They say this is what we're built for, this is what they say.
And so now they lose the opener in their worst loss in a couple of years. And because this team is different, it's okay and it's fair. And I do question, can they bounce back? The last time they lost a game like this was to Baltimore. Back in 2023, they got smoked. They won the next three. So You know, I mean, and then this is, it's one of our huge questions moving forward. Now, I'm looking forward to talk to Jared about it because bouncing back, being built for this, having that grit and the resilience is what this team is built on. But with every team being different, will this group be able to do it? 248-539-9797. Jerry and Hal says, Caleb Williams looked good in the scripted plays to start the game. Then the wheels fell off. No composure. J.J. McCarthy looked way more composed when it mattered, but it is week one. All true, Gary. Most concerned with our O-line and running game, which was our complete identity. Might have to change some things around, but very concerning to start. Also, our pass rush was completely negligible, and I did not notice Hutch one time. Well, if you didn't notice Hutch one time, he did make some plays. He also took up two offensive linemen often, two blockers often, made some plays in the run game. You guys crack me up. You should have been hoping for the Bears to win. Now they're even more desperate to keep pace. The Lions have a hard time this week. I mean, seriously. So you think the Bears are going to be more motivated than the Lions? Like if the Bears had won that game, they would have been fat and sassy and thought they had arrived and be vulnerable. I'm sorry. I just don't know. That's how pro teams work. I don't suspect that they do. Like this whole motivation thing, we'll get calls on this every once in a while, and I'll give a little eye roll. They're going to want to win this game.
Look, teams can and players can do the little tricks they need to do to get themselves extra motivated for the game or whatever. Both teams have plenty of motivation going into it. You don't have to come up with the extra stuff.
No.
But if you want to, hey, hook them. Go ahead, do what you got to do. But don't think that one team is more motivated than the next. Both teams start off the season 0-1. That is not where they expected to be after 1 week.
Bears are missing Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and TJ Edwards on defense. Kind of makes a difference. Oh, we know.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, like missing injuries. Aleem McNeil.
No Frank Ragnow this year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the update.
Yeah, we got it. Attrition is a part of the game. I will say that I just, either way, either team wins, it's good and bad. Like watching that game, I'm like, every negative takeaway, like I can make that Chicago might be the same thing they always are. Off-season winners, regular season failures. They might be that. They might not. It's one game. I'm not drawing that conclusion. But I also am like, ooh, this JJ kid. If he's this good and they're going to make this many plays, then they're going to be a handful in the division. Right? I mean, every positive in that game, there was a negative. How do the Lions stack up? I don't know yet, but I mean, last year it was Lions and Vikings. This year it might be Lions, Vikings, and Packers. This year it might be Vikings and Packers. It's still to be determined, but I think the Lions are going to be there in the end. I still believe that. And I don't think one 60-minute football game where they played like Hmong is indicative of who they're going to be. Now, things got to get addressed. Boy, do things need to get addressed. We'll talk about what it is. With the Lions quarterback, Jared Goff. He joins us next here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Lions quarterback Jared Goff will join us shortly here on 97.1. Lions looking to bounce back. They do have the Bears coming in, and the Bears, look, they came out just hot as a pistol right down the field. Although I was looking at the play-by-play last night, here's how it manifested itself in that first drive. Caleb Williams passed short right to DeAndre Swift. Caleb Williams passed short left to DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift at right guard. Caleb Williams pass short middle to Kyle Manung guy. Caleb Williams pass short middle to DJ Moore. Then they had a run. Then he did have the completion of Dunze down the field. And then he passed short left. And then he scrambled for a touchdown. And I'm like, okay, he dinked and dunked down the field. He had one downfield pass and he ran for a touchdown. I was on social media at the time. Ben Johnson's fixed Caleb Williams. And I'm like, did he? I mean, there was the one downfield throw. But I also think back to Bill Belichick takes when they went right down the field and scored in that North Carolina, Virginia Tech game. Now, I'm not burying anybody. I'm just saying that it's a work in progress there.
Yeah,
as
like
well.
You mentioned, he was 10 of 10 to start the game and then finished 11 of 25.
Yeah.
I mean, struggled to score in the second half. They had one offensive touchdown in the second half.
Yeah, they scored on their first possession and what their last possession. And in between, there was a field goal and a defensive touchdown. I tell you what, the awesome exchange on the kick return late, I don't know how many people saw this because it was like the last thing that happened, but the Bears are out of timeouts. There's minute 40-something to go, minute 50 to go, and the Bears are out of timeouts, and the kick goes 5 yards deep, and Kevin O'Connell signaling to his kick. I mean, I hope he told him beforehand, but it looked like this was a check with me situation, like – because he told him, bring it out. And the reason you want to bring it out is because you can kill 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think they killed 7 or 8 seconds, whatever it was.
It mattered.
And in the end, it really mattered because when the Bears did get the ball back, they had almost no time. But, yeah, I felt myself, like, rooting for the Vikings and rooting for J.J. And J.J. was doing great. Then thinking about the Lions, I don't want him to be that good.
Right, 100%.
I want him to win a game. Yeah, I like J.J. J.J.'s a great kid, but.
My takeaway out of watching that game last night was this division is going to be really tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many wins the Bears are going to have, but they're going to be a tough out, right? And I think this whole thing is going to be like four teams having somewhere between 9 and 11 wins, I think, for all four teams.
Didn't we have a guy call last week and predict that the Lions were going to win the division at 9-8?
Maybe. Just watching it, it's competitive as hell. Like, the Vikings have this great offense, but hey, don't discount the players they have on defense too that were making plays all throughout the second half. The Bears have a bunch of players, but they're not together as a team just yet. See if that can happen for them, but they're obviously talented. We saw what Green Bay did to the Lions.
Yeah.
This is a tough-ass division with pretty good quarterback play. J.J. McCarthy was impressive and really kind of the last drive of the first half. I was watching the Manning cast of the game, and they were talking about, I don't know why they're even going to try to take plays. They just take a knee and go to halftime. Right? I don't know. What are they doing? You know, they're not going to score. Literally, we're saying that. And then he throws a deep pass on the sideline, picks up like 40 yards, and they're like, well, maybe something else is here, right? And they get the field goal. So it's I think both teams looked pretty good on TV last night at times. But we'll see. This is a tough division.
Bears got to clean it up. 12 penalties, 127 yards. Not good. All right, let's talk to the quarterback. Jared, it is great to have you back for another year. Thanks for being with us here on 97.1 The Ticket. And now that you've had a chance to digest that opener, watch the film, what is your overall takeaway?
Yeah, similar to what I said after, just not even close to good enough, certainly for us offensively, and got a ton of things to work on and improve on. And the good news is it's week one. We got time to fix it, but it's got to happen in a hurry. And there will certainly be some urgency from all of us to get those things fixed. And starts with me.
Yeah, you said, I think right after the game, you said you were looking forward to leading the team this week after the loss. What did you feel that you need? What do you feel that needs to be addressed first and foremost? And did that kind of start even on the flight home, or do you like, let's give it a rest? We'll tackle it on Monday.
Yeah. What needs to be addressed? I think, you know, it's hard to put your finger on one thing. I just think there needs to be a little bit of an urgency of intensity and improvement. And Dan said it, you know, we just have to find a way to get better this week and improve this week, and things will be just all right.
You know, one of the core strengths of this team the last few years is the ability to respond. You guys haven't lost back-to-back games in forever. There always seems to be a great resilience, but every team's different. Are you interested, confident in this particular version of the Lions and the ability to respond?
Am I interested or confident?
Are you confident in this team's
yes,
ability?
Yes, of course.
To,
okay. Yes, of course, of course, of course. I vary. I mean, it's a lot of the same guys, and we've got a resilient group, dude. I mean, we've been through a lot as a group, and one loss on the road is not going to send us into the gutter by any means. And I think the important thing is to, you know, a loss is a loss. You know, that those happen. But the important thing is to focus on what needs to be fixed, what needs to be improved, what needs to be communicated better, and fix those things. And then the wins will come.
From your perspective, what did the Packers do to make it tough to get the ball downfield?
They always done a good job of playing kind of deep to short, I would say, in the secondary. They do a good job with their depth at safety. I think they've got two really good safeties. Obviously, McKinney gets a lot of the credit. But the other guy, 33, does a great job, too. And being smart, pattern matching, doing all the things that they're supposed to do from a deep to short perspective. And then they pass rush well. When they pass rush well, it takes some time for receivers to run downfield. So when they're able to pass rush, it takes some of that away.
Visually watching the game, it kind of looked like you had less room to work with in the pocket, almost like you needed to take a couple of steps backward. Is that accurate? Was it more smushed coming at you, or am I just, was I having a fever dream?
I think every game is different. I think there's times in my career where it's been like that. There's times in my career where it hasn't been like that. I mean, this game in particular, yeah, there were some messy pockets, but there were also some great pockets. And so I think it's hard to say the whole game was one or the other.
So during the game, you had a 4th-and-2 conversion to Jamison Williams. Tony Romo said on the broadcast that he thought Williams was your 5th read. I know you read your progressions and get down. I didn't know if he was the 5th read, but take us through that play and where J-Mo fell in the progressions for you.
I came all the way back to him. I don't believe he was the 5th read. I think he would have been more towards the front of those reads. But, I progressed through and got to him nicely there and converted. And I think we did a good job converting in some of those situations. Our 3rd down percentage was low, but our 4th down percentage was high. So whenever we're able to convert on any of those, we feel pretty good.
So the new offensive coordinator, John Morton, there's reaction and then there's overreaction. And yesterday we dealt with callers that say, you know, that's the coordinator change. That was what the problem was. But is this just a work in progress when you break in a new coordinator? Is this typical, or is everything going to be fine and everybody just needs to relax?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, it's impossible to try to compare apples to apples with, you know, previous coaches or anything like that. Like it's a completely new thing that we're doing with him, not a new system, but a new communication. And, it's a new human. So there's different things going on. And I think back to in 2022 when Ben was in his first year and we went, I believe we were 1-6. That year to start the year, not by any means saying that's where we're headed, but I think there were growing pains there too offensively, and then we got into a good rhythm, you know, halfway through the year. Certainly we want to get in that rhythm this week, though. We don't want to wait till week 6 or 7 to find that out, but I think that's natural when there's a new coordinator, when there's a new guy calling plays. He's getting used to us still, we're getting used to him still, and some of that progression is still happening, but it's all moving in the right direction, and it's all stuff I'm optimistic about, and by no means am I worried about any of it.
Okay. Does it matter at all that he's in the booth or on the field? Somebody, we got that call yesterday. And does it matter to you at all?
No.
Okay.
I think that's foolish.
two incredible catches in the game. One turned in by St. Brown on the sideline. It was amazing. And then I can't believe it was outdone, but it was by Isaac Tesla on that touchdown play at the end of the game. Can you kind of take me through what it was like for you on the field to experience that? And what was it like for you in real time?
Yeah, you know, I wish it was a more competitive game at that point, so I could have been a little bit more excited about it. But yeah, after watching it on tape, one of the most incredible catches I've ever been on the other end of, certainly. And for that to be his first career catch and for it to happen like that is pretty cool for him, for a memory. Ultimately, it was in a moment of the game where there wasn't much celebrating going on. But happy for him to get that kind of monkey off his back at that first catch as well as the first touchdown, and hopefully get him more involved as we go.
Did you think it was a touchdown when you first threw it?
No. I knew he caught it. I just didn't think he got his feet down. And then I saw the replay on the screen. I was like, holy smokes, he did it.
Wow. Okay, so obviously moving forward, you mentioned all the things that need to get addressed. I don't know if you watched the Monday night game, saw the Bears, saw Ben Johnson. What do you make of this matchup, given what you've seen of yourself and of them?
Yeah, you know, I watched last night, and I think anytime you're able to get like a live scouting is good. You know, Monday night, it's only thing on, and got to see some of that, and obviously watching some more this morning. And yeah, they're a good team, man. They've always been a good team, though, and I think they've been at the bottom end of our division the last couple of years, but I don't think that's a product of them being a bad team. I think our division's been pretty dang good. So they're a good team. They're a good defense, certainly. We got our hands full, and Dennis Allen's a great coach.
How do you watch the Monday night game? Is this one you watch with teammates, or is it just you with the wife and the kid and a very needy dog? Or how does it
just
work?
Just me and Kristen. It was 8:15 start, so baby girl was asleep.
Very, very, very smart. Did you see anything different from the defense this time around than what you've seen in the past from the Bears?
Well, certainly. They've got a different coach, whole different staff, and some different personnel. So, yeah, certainly some differences. And we'll take it to go this week. But like I said, I obviously have a lot of respect for Ben and the way he coached us, and I know he'll have those guys ready. And then I have a lot of respect for Dennis Allen and the way he's coached the Saints over the years. He'll have the defense ready.
One of the great privileges we have is you can answer some questions that get asked us. We got questions yesterday about play calling. I think losing fans like to complain about play calling. How would you respond to those questions about the play calling?
What are the questions?
Oh, you know, the ball didn't get downfield, predictable. These are the things that get thrown at us.
Yeah, I mean, how would I respond? I mean, how much time you got? I think, you know, the downfield thing, like, we called the plays downfield. They covered them. And so I just checked it down to our backs. And I don't think that's any different than we had played certain games in the past. You know, certainly we call those shots. If they're not open, I check it down. If they are open, I'd like to, you know, think I'd take those chances. And, yeah, so we got to find a way to get those open more often. Certainly, I guess. I think that's maybe partially answers it. But we will. We'll find those ways and figure it out. We've got a pretty fast guy in Jameson Williams who can get down there and like to throw it to him downfield, as well as, you know, a handful of other guys. So as we go, those shots will come, and we'll continue to find them.
Lastly, Jerry, did you have any flashbacks when you're watching the play where Branch has the interception, Hutchinson gets called for blocking Jordan Love, and all we could think about is, hey, how about the playoff game where Jared got smoked and there was no flag on that, but they're going to flag Hutchinson for hitting Jordan Love?
Yeah, I think they probably missed that call. I try not to have this flashbacks to that game as much as possible, so thanks for doing that here. But that was a hell of a play by Branch. I don't believe that's a penalty on Aiden. I think that as soon as the quarterback starts chasing the play, he's live. Didn't matter. We had a defensive holding, so none of it mattered, I guess. But, yeah.
Jared, appreciate your time. Thanks for the insight. It is always helpful, and we will talk again next week. Good luck.
Good. I'm glad I can be helpful for you guys. Well, appreciate you having me on.
Jared, seriously, because we get bombarded with questions after losses that we don't know how to answer, but it's great to have you to come on to answer them.
I should just come on like right after the game.
No, you should. Do not come on right after.
Everybody needs a cooling down period. Tuesdays are good.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad I can come on every Tuesday and talk to y'all. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
There he is, Jared Goff, Detroit Lions quarterback. He's something, isn't he? Do you feel better? Like, he sounds like he's perfectly confident.
I guess a little bit, but I didn't feel that. Look, in the wake of the game, I hated the game. It was a game where they were completely non-competitive, it felt like, offensively. Because those are the visceral reactions you get. Then you go back and kind of look at your notes, and you look at the play-by-play sheet and everything else, and I'm like, It was bad, but it wasn't as bad as maybe I initially thought it was. Like, they did drive the ball a few times.
Yeah.
They didn't end up with touchdowns.
The defense was better in the second half.
Yeah,
the
defense is really good in the second half. Look, they didn't get after Jordan Love, and that's a problem. They got to work on it, and it's a big area of focus because everybody's looking at it. Hey, what about the guy opposite of Hutch? Well, what about Hutch? You know, and I got it. But offensively, I think that they've, you know, they started to move the ball. They did move the ball a little bit, so I'm not in this deep, dark place that I thought it might be.
It's why, though, it's cool to have people ask us questions on Monday, and then we can file them away. Like, it doesn't matter if John Morton's in the box or on the field. Stuff like that, and be able to ask Jared himself. And so we do appreciate him coming on, and we do appreciate all the questions we get from the listeners. All right, your thoughts on what Jared Goff had to say. Does that make people feel better? I mean, he sounded pretty confident. All right, so we asked Jared Goff about John Morton. And he said, yeah, there's a feeling out period. We asked Jared Goff about him being in the booth and not on the field. There was a concern there. He didn't think that mattered.
He laughed at it.
Yeah.
I think that is, and what did he say? It's stupid?
It's foolish.
Foolish.
I think that's foolish. Yeah. We asked him about the play calling. And he said, look, plays get called. That's not always what you see. So anyway, look, it is what it is. I did, you know, it's a tough game. It was a terrible opener for the Lions, and there's a feeling of we got this.
I think we said it maybe yesterday. If not, I certainly felt this about the way the game was going. I don't think it was a play calling issue. I don't. This was, to me, the loss was not a referendum on the offensive coordinator. To me, the loss was. It was painfully evident that the offensive line wasn't getting the job done. And I do want to give some credit to Green Bay because they're the ones that are applying the pressure. But that to me was the biggest takeaway, is that Green Bay won the line of scrimmage, hands down, both offensively and defensively. They won the line of scrimmage, and that's why they won the game. That's why they doubled up the Lions in points. They couldn't get started. And if the Lions can't get started, which is running the football, then they're in big trouble.
248-539-9797. Your reaction to what Jared had to say. Daniel's in Berkeley, and he's on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, guys. So, overall, I got to say, I have full confidence in Jared Goff. But there's still two things that I want to bring up. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the preseason hype that we had surrounding the Lions. And the first thing is, this Aiden Hutchinson rule that we talked about so much in preseason.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if we just didn't frame this correctly. Is it that Aiden Hutchinson was so dominant in preseason because he's good, or was he so dominant at practice because our O-line sucked? And I don't really know how to interpret that.
Well, good question. Let's start with this. Aiden Hutchinson is lining up opposite Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell, and I find it hard to believe that they suck.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just, that was one thing that was kind of running through my mind as I was watching the game. And then the second topic that I wanted to bring up is there was so much hype around the live practices that were up against the Dolphins.
Yep.
And we felt very confident after those live practices.
Yep.
And then the Dolphins went out and got smoked by the Colts.
Yep.
And so it's that same, are we framing this correctly in the preseason as was the Lions offense so good during those live practices, or are the Dolphins just bad this
year? I'm feeling that one maybe a little bit more, that it's quite possible that the Lions went out and absolutely jackhammered in practice, in those joint practices, a terrible football team. I think that's possible because they did. Let me tell you something. Those days, it was lopsided. Is it possible that that was more of a reflection of where the Dolphins are than where the Lions are? It's possible.
I think when it comes to the Dolphins part of it, absolutely 100%. I think that's true. Dolphins are terrible, and the Lions ate them up as much as the Colts did, if not more. As far as the other stuff is concerned, I think when we're going to look back at the end of the season, we're going to say Green Bay is a hell of a football team. I think the Lions are a hell of a football team, but the Lions are going through some growing pains with the offensive line, and they have to get that figured out. I think they'll get that figured out. The question is, how long is it going to take? It took J.J. McCarthy almost a half of football before he started to figure things out, and things slowed down for him, and he started making better decisions last night in his first start. I suspect it will take the Lions a few games to really feel like a cohesive unit, particularly in the middle with those three new guys in the interior. But I don't think this is a bad football team. I don't think that it's, Jared Goff was under duress against the Packers, but, he did complete 31 passes in the game. It's not like it was complete failure. 31 out of 39, albeit a lot of short dump-off passes. That's because of what the defense was presenting him. They still moved the ball.
Let's go to Sron. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Sron.
There's Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, I just wanted to, comment about the preseason. And I might be wrong, but a lot of teams didn't play their starters during the preseason. And a couple of games that I watched was evidence of them losing the game because there was they had no practice. And also our general manager, you know, and our head coach saying, we're good, we don't need anybody. So we did nothing to boost our players for the regular season. The offensive line was horrible. The defensive line was horrible. They did whatever they wanted to do most of the game. And I haven't felt that embarrassed of a Lions loss in a long time. It's just, it's sad. I don't think positive about the team this year.
Well, how'd you feel about them after that Ravens smacking they took 2 years ago, 38-6?
I kind of anticipated that. Yeah, I get where you're going with that, but, you know.
Because that team played for the NFC Championship game. It could be just a snapshot in time on this day. The Packers, who are expected to be pretty good, jackhammered our Lions, and now it's up to the Lions to show that they can rebound and be who we thought they were and you know, see what happens from here. It is one game, but it wasn't pretty.
No, I mean, one of the things that goes to my brain was I'm thinking back of the game is all I can see is the offensive lineman laying on the ground, getting stepped on and pushed around, and the Green Bay Packers doing whatever they wanted to do to our offensive line. It was embarrassing.
It's got to get addressed, and if it does, I will say this, and this goes to the Lions, and it goes to Michigan as well. I wouldn't wait forever to look at shuffling around the offensive line. I would not wait too long. I think you need to look at if it's not going to work the way it's currently configured, you've got other options. And I think both have plenty of people that are worthy of a look. The Lions, interestingly, I don't know if this means anything, but I looked it up today and I was a little surprised. They have two centers on the practice squad. And I'm like, usually a practice squad, it feels to me like you're just trying to put enough fill holes for players to make sure you got enough to literally practice, but I found that to be kind of surprising. So if the problem is the center, there's people on the practice squad, but there's also, you can shuffle people around if you want to move Ratledge over. If the problem is diagnosed as the center, you move Ratledge over and you put maybe Giovanni Manu at one of the guard spots. Does Owasika get a crack at it? I just wouldn't wait too long. And I mean, for Michigan, does Blake Frazier get worked in there?
Well, for the Lions, I think they definitely have issues on the offensive line that they have to be worked out. I think they have the personnel. The three guys they have starting are the three guys they're going to use. I don't think there's going to be any changes with that unless there's an injury that comes up. I think they made it pretty clear that they want Tate Ratledge to start at right guard and that they want Graham Glasgow at center, and they'll move on with that. Now, if this play continues, if they continue to be out of sync, and if it's out of sync because they're making the wrong calls, then you got to get somebody in there who's going to make the right calls. If they're out of sync because somebody's just getting beat time and time again, that's a whole other issue.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.